Around here, there's all kinds of guys dying for work, construction workers, Joe Pauls, guys who sat around, don't do nothing, but they would if there's a job, but they're not union. So our guys just sit around. Is that going to be the same thing with this wind energy? Are they all going to be union jobs? So we don't gain anything. It's just both online. I can't imagine this fiasco. They're inefficient. Windmills are inefficient to begin with. I'm just rattled. I have said enough.
Thank you.
Randy Seaver, excuse me.
Good evening. Just for the record, my name is Randy Seaver, and I provide professional consulting services to First Wind, but I'm here tonight to read into the record a letter from Jack Lord, a resident of Bingham who could not be here this evening, and he asked that this letter be read into the record this evening. Mr. Lord is also, by way of reference, president of the Valley Riders Snowmobile Club, and his letter reads as follows. To the attention of the Maine Department of Environmental Protection. After reading and hearing what opponents say about a wind project, it seems like some folks have the luxury of pontification while the rest of us are left to figure out how to prevent rural Maine communities from becoming ghost towns. Rural towns like Bingham are mere shadows of what they once were. Our children can no longer find sustainable jobs here. We have lost manufacturing jobs and witnessed the devastating results of a declining forest-based economy. The opponents will call wind turbines ugly, but how would they describe boarded-up businesses, the views of abandoned homes, and abandoned farms, that are all too familiar in this part of Maine? Sadly, opponents offer nothing but criticism for responsible and leading environmental groups that understand the need to protect both our ecosystem and the people who live here. I appreciate rigorous debate and other opinions, but I fail to see the benefit of rhetoric that ignores the needs of local communities. The Bingham Wind Project is proposed on a stretch of land that has been actively logged for nearly two centuries and features a network of existing roads. This project will be built on low elevation ridges with minimal environmental impacts and no visibility from the Appalachian Trail for 8 miles. I applaud First Wind and others who strive for balance. It may not be as easy or convenient as pontification, but it offers us a way forward toward a sustainable future. Sincerely, Jack Lord of Bingham.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Charlie Wallace. Those are all the names I have. If anybody does not, oh, Mr. Wallace, you are here?
Sorry.
Okay, sorry.
Sorry, I have more problems.
And you're not going to read this, are you?
Not
Thank
on
you.
Your life.
So if you could summarize at 9:15 at night so we can clean up the gym, and we'd appreciate that.
Thank you, Commissioner, members of the department. My name is Charlie Wallace. I'm a licensed professional engineer, licensed to practice in 4 states. I have an environmental engineering practice and experience in some 47 years in that area. And within the past dozen years, focus practice includes environmental acoustics. It also includes wind projects of almost all of the varieties you've heard of tonight. I'm not here as an opponent or a proponent of this particular project. I'm here to talk about some technical points in the noise study that you are considering relative to whether or not that noise study demonstrates compliance. I would say to you that the paper that I've just given you is prepared by a fellow named Dr. Vandenberg. It's a 2013 synopsis of the current knowledge of wind noise across the board. It it speaks for itself. He is one of the most noted wind turbine experts in the world. And while I think you should read that, it's there for your information, it's why I brought it. But what I will address is the technical points inside the noise study. Technical points are that 96.13.2 is the standard that is used to model this project. It is described as, and it is, a well-accepted modeling protocol. It is also has, like every other mathematical model, it has its limitations, and one of those limitations is called plus or minus 3 dB. That means that you, whatever you predict, if you take the numbers that you're going to use and you predict, you can be plus or minus from that. If you want to model the mean, you forget it. If you want to model the worst case, you put 3 decibels into the model. In this case, only 1 decibel was put into the model. The reason offered for that was based on the author's personal experience and not based on the interpretation of the International Standard Committee that wrote that particular standard. So I'd encourage you to review that particular assumption. Another assumption is the one about worst case. Worst case, an unintended consequence of the DEP's own rule with regard to the definition of worst case. I at one time participated in attempting to arrive at that, working with the department and with clients at the time. I would say that time moves on and definitions need to be re-looked at, because tonight, as we sit here speaking, the definition used, and it's a very technical thing, but the ground absorption factor of 0.5 is an overall nice annualized average of what will happen, but it will not describe the worst case impact on a night like tonight with all frozen ground conditions. And that is not my opinion. That is the opinion of a fellow named David Hessler, a very well-known international expert in wind turbine sounds, whose opinion changed the definition of worst case in the modeling work that we did at Clifton on the Pisgah Mountain Wind Project, which has been before you. So I would encourage you to take a look at that assumption. The third is another unintended consequence of the DEP's its other rule, and it's related to compliance testing. Stetson 1 was tested under my supervision for the first time using the quote-unquote Warren Brown protocol. That document, that intention there was voluntary on the part of the client to determine whether or not the protocol had any technical merit or needed any tweaking. It demonstrated that when all of the worst-case assumptions were made, that you could be relatively certain that you would be at or under the largest number predicted. Okay, so if you then shave the numbers that are in that particular protocol, you shave the results. Table 6.1 in the current noise study, if it's redone with the assumptions of the uncertainties of 3 related to the method itself, the ISO 96.13.2 method itself. If 3 is used there, and if the GA00 case has ground absorption, it's a tick in the box in the model that says how much of the sound is going to be absorbed by the ground. If that is used as a possibility, in the worst case, it will add 2 to 3 decibels to the outcome. I believe that by proper application of redefined worst-case conditions, the results in Table 6.1 will be changed. That said, I also believe that because of the controls that are available to the project developer, such as the pitch, that has been used elsewhere to meet compliance, can be done so and ought to be considered as part of your deliberations in going forward with this project, whether approval or disapproval. I have no dog in this hunt. I just am here to point these things out, and as commissioner knows I could go on a lot further, but I won't, and I appreciate the opportunity to address you.
Will you be putting your comments in writing to us?
Hadn't intended to, but can if you'd like.
I would really appreciate that.
I can do that.
Thank you.
And I am providing a copy of this same thing to the applicant's representatives here.
Thank you. It was just a lot to take in for our staff, so if you could put that in writing,
I understand.
I would really appreciate that.
I understand that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wallace. Mr. Wallace was the last speaker that had signed up. Is there anybody else who wishes to provide us with any comments? Please come forward if it's not something that has already been said, and if it could be specific to the project.
So you all want to get out of here before 10, right? It's humor, it's late.
Hi. Thank you. Hi, I'm Kelly Vicknier, and I do reside here. I've lived here all my life, raised a family. Yes, my daughter did leave, lack of a job. I do work for the school system. I do a lot of volunteering, so thank you for Baker Mountain donation, for the trails donations. We appreciate that. It keeps our kids busy. I'm nervous, bear with me. I just want to reiterate a couple of things that I had heard tonight. I'd taken some notes on environmental impact, and I'm not sure if you know the history of our area, but we impacted the environment when we changed the Kennebec River and we started using it to haul lumber from one end of the state down to the other. We've since cleaned that up. We impacted the environment when we flooded to build a dam. We built a whole tent town to support the people working on the dam, and now we've gone down to a maintenance job crew that just works to maintain the dam. But at the time when we were building it, it was a thriving community. They even had tents to house and school the children as they taught them. So building the turbines and having the money come into the town for that, but then turn around and having maintenance, it kind of balances it out. We had a Quimby Vernier mill that also impacted our environment, and it brought money into the town and a lot of jobs, and a lot of people refer back to that as a good time for our community, and it was. We had good jobs, and then the mill folded. So those are things to take into consideration based on the needs and the time era that we were in, choices that needed to be made for our town and for our community. The scenic views, that's why we're here. When you come out and you look, like today was gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. The sun is shining and glistening. It's been cold, but it's sun. It's beautiful. We love it. We go up to Pleasant Pond Mountain. You turn one way, you can see Bigelow Mountains. You turn the other way, you see Mount Kineo. Those are gorgeous views. We enjoy doing these things. That's why people spend money to come to our area. That's why we want the tourist money to come. Another thing that I have concerns with is that we aren't documenting any wind turbine fires. That, to me, is important. We document accidents, we document house fires, we do data collection on all sorts of things. That should be a concern for somebody, a red flag. Why aren't we doing it? Does it never happen? No, it does. If so, under what conditions? That, to me, is important to look at. If you look at the information, can you change it, can you fix it, can you minimize it? That's important. So those were just my thoughts. So thank you for that. Have a good night.
Thank you all very much. We're going to conclude this public meeting. And I would ask for some help in putting the chairs back in the classrooms from wherever you brought the chairs in from. Thank you.